Deuteronomy 9:23, Joshua 14. All right, everybody got it. Say amen, you got it. Okay, all right. I want to talk to you this morning about something that I see that as a pastor, you have compassion on your church members and you have compassion on everybody. We ought to, but on church members, and some just don't always make it as far as others in the faith. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Is this work? Some doesn't make it as far as others. Some have saving faith, and that's just about all they get is saving faith. And they're going to go to heaven. They're going to go to heaven saving faith. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They received Him as their Savior. They've been born again. But that's just about as far as they're ever going to go. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to him. He said, am I supposed to talk to you like children again? You know, you should have been grown up in the faith by now. But some people won't. They just won't. For all kinds of reasons, they won't. And then others, you know, they'll go halfway and they'll grow a little bit and then they'll quit. And then others, they'll go a little farther and they may even begin to teach Sunday school or sing or something. And then, but every once in a while, you'll find some that go all the way. That mountain climbing faith. They didn't get to the foot of the mountain and stop. They said, Lord, give me this mountain. And they kept going. And Joshua was one of those with mountain climbing faith. Amen. And now faith's a gift of God. Faith's a gift of God. You can't work it up. You can't be taught faith. You receive faith. Once you receive, God gives you the faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't even have that. That's a gift of God. As much as people, there's some people want to be saved, but they never get to that point to where they either understand it enough or they care enough that God will give them that faith to be saved. But then the Christian life is a life of faith. It's not that I'm just saved and I quit doing some things. That's not... We walk by faith. Every day is a day of faith. I don't know what's going to happen today. I didn't know when I got up this morning what was going to happen today. But by faith, I put that in God's hands. Whether I live or I die, it's God. It's Jesus Christ. If I live, if I die, it's all Jesus Christ. My faith is in Him. He's given me living faith and He'll give me dying faith. When it comes time to die, He'll give me the faith to die. I don't need that right now. But when it comes that time, He will. But in between all those things, there's daily faith that we must have in order to do what God wants us to do or be what God wants us to be. And it's not work. We're not doing these things because we have to live this way. We don't deny ourselves and our appetites and our pleasures in order to please God. God gives us the faith to do those things. We don't do that to be saved. He gives us that faith because we are saved. Y'all still with me? I'm not trying to be saved. I am saved.
Amen.
I'm not trying to go to heaven. As far as He's concerned, in Ephesians, He said, I'm already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. As far as God's concerned, the believer is already with Him. We're just traveling down here in this old world. We're pilgrims. We don't belong here anymore. We're aliens. The Bible calls us aliens. Amen. We're alien from the things of this world. So we don't get wrapped up in the things of this world anymore. We try to be heavenly minded instead of earthly minded. Try to be spiritual minded. Now Caleb was a spiritual man. He was a man of faith. He was unusual even for his time. Remember, he's right after Moses. He took the leadership. Now, he was unusual for that time. So imagine how unusual it is for the day that we live in for people to have great faith. Our faith in most of the civilized world is more in science than it is in God. It's more in doctors than it is the great physician.
Yes.
It's more in banks than it is heaven, where He'll supply all our needs from His riches in glory.
Amen.
The average Christian today, especially in America, other than saving faith, has never had any experience of faith. In your Christian life, has there ever been a time where something happened and you said, this happened because this is what I've been praying about.
Amen.
This is what I've been working toward. This is what I've been looking forward to. This happened. Well, see, that's an experience of faith. And we'll say, praise God that this happened because God answered my prayers. And by faith, I went all those years and God didn't answer my prayers. It didn't seem like he did, but he was setting it up. So down the road, the answer was coming. That's called faith. And most Christians nowadays don't have those experiences because they think they have no need of anything. They don't need healing. They got doctors. They don't need comfort. They got medications. They got alcohol. They got all these things. They don't need great faith because they've got money in the bank. If they don't, they got relatives that do. And some of them just waiting for you to kick the bucket so they can have your money that you got by faith. Because they have no faith. But you see, Caleb and Joshua were two people that had great faith. And I'm going to read you the story. But all right, Numbers, that was a long introduction, I know, but I had to do that because some folks need to know where I'm coming from. At Numbers chapter 9, verse 23 says, likewise, when the Lord sent you, talking about children of Israel, from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I've given you. Then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. And you've been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. My goodness. Now, Joshua 14. Joshua 14. I'm going to set up this picture while you're turning there. God has miraculously delivered the children of Egypt. I mean, the children of Israel from Egypt. After hundreds of years of slavery, God has brought them out by miracles and signs and wonders. God brought them out. They didn't fight their way out. They didn't even believe their way out. They argued with Moses when he came to tell them, God's going to get you out of here. And they said, who do you think you are to tell us such things? But God delivered the children of Israel. And then he destroyed Pharaoh and his armies. Unlike the movie, The Ten Commandments, Pharaoh went down into the water with the army and he died too. He didn't step on the hill. Hollywood's never made a real Christian movie. But they got to leave something out, you know. But God's taken them across and now they're headed toward the promised land. It was only a few days' journey. It wasn't far. But they got to a place called Kadesh Barnea, a little mountain range, just a little short mountain range. And some of them said, Moses said, over there's promised land. And some of them said, well, listen, we need to send out spies to see if we can take it. Now, he already told them it was there. They didn't have to spy out anything, but they did. And God let them do it. So you know the story. They picked 12 men and they sent out one for each tribe. And they sent those 12 over into what was going to be the promised land. It was still full of heathens and unbelievers and wicked people that sacrificed their babies to false gods and burned them on the idols and people that would, the LGBT type movement people that had temples that worshiped like that. But God done told them, he said, I'll drive out the inhabitants. And you go in and possess the land, the houses, the orchards, everything's yours. Just go in and sit down. It's going to be empty when you get there. God, he said, I'll drive them out with bees. I'll just drive them out. And they didn't believe God was going to do that. They got to the point where if they just went past that little mountaintop, that little mountain range, they'd walked in. As they walked in, God would have been driving those people out. Because he said he would. No, so they picked 12 spies. You know the story, 12 spies went in. They came back, and all of them had a good report to some extent. They always said, man, that's a beautiful place. And we brought back these grapes. There's so many on a cluster of grapes, it takes two men to carry a cluster of grapes. They got watermelons like basketballs over there. That's in the regional. You got to know how to read the regional. And they says, the land flowing with milk and honey. And there was no Aldi there. There was no whatever it is you go to get groceries. The place was full of stuff, and God had raised it up that way, and He had these people plant this stuff and build this stuff and make it all just for His children, and then God was going to run them out. And they got those spies, and the spies said, yeah, all that's true, all that's true. It's a beautiful place, and it'd be a great place to live, but... You ask Baptists, but... Yeah, preacher, we ought to do that, but... Yeah, we ought to build that, but... Yeah, we ought to act like that, but... You know what I'm talking about, Baptists. Y'all know, you're Baptists, right? But two, Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute, fellas, whoa, it is good and it's wonderful and it's flowing with milk and honey, and we can take the land, God will drive them out, we just got to trust God. And I know it's a Baptist church because they took a vote. And you know the rest of the story, they didn't go, and because of their unbelief, and that's what it was. We don't believe God will do that. We don't believe God's going to give this to us. We don't believe God raised all that up for us. We're not going to do that. There's giants over there. And there's mighty soldiers over there. And they've got armies over there. And we can't do it. We're not going to do it. And Joshua and Caleb said, but we can do it. And that's where we are right here. Joshua 14, if you look, verse 5, if you will. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua. Oh, by the way, I stopped soon, too soon. They had to wander around that wilderness because they refused God. Now, here's where we are. After 40 years, that first generation's died off. God said, this first generation that denied me, I'm going to let them die, and then the younger generation will possess the land. That's where we are. And as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. They're remembering back when their parents stopped. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Now this is Caleb talking. Nevertheless, listen, Joshua and Caleb are saying these things. Now this is what was in their heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Oh my goodness. Wow. And the Lord hath kept me alive. And as he said, these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. We're talking 80-something-year-old man here. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, those were giants, those were the people of Goliath-type people. The Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me when I shall be able to drive them out, as saith the Lord. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Chapter 15, two verses. Chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, Talmiah, and the children of Amak. Amen, amen, amen. Now, Israel is established in the land. Now, that first generation has passed away. And they're dispersed in the land as Moses had told them. Now, the individual tribes have to go and inherit what has been given to them. Danny, would you close that back door back there? For some reason, it's standing open. These people have to go. Now, even though the land's been promised to them, they didn't believe the promise, so now they've had to work ever since. They've had to work ever since. And now they get to go get the land, but now they've got to fight. God said he'd drive them out first, but not now because of their parents and grandparents' sin of unbelief. These people have to work harder, but their land's being distributed. And as you see, Caleb had to go drive some people out, and so did Joshua. Caleb was one of the original 12 spies. He said, "We can," when others said, "We can't." And while others trembled, he trusted. And while they saw obstacles, Caleb saw opportunities. And while they counted odds, Caleb counted on God.
Amen.
Amen. Joshua and Caleb believed God. And you can see this in several ways. I got 12 minutes to preach a 2.5-hour sermon. So if I go over, don't get mad, okay? Here's the ways you can see that Joshua and Caleb had the faith that they needed and that they believed God. Look, here's the problem with everybody, all of us. As believers, do we believe God? Yea, hath God said.
That's right.
That's what the devil said in the garden, and that's what we say. And these two guys had such a faith that it looked almost dangerous. They just go ahead and believe God when everybody else doubted God. Now, you can see this in several ways. In Numbers 14, verse 24, if you'll look with me. Go back, verse 24. Numbers, no, it ain't. Oh, yeah, it is Numbers. Yeah. But listen. Huh?
Deuteronomy.
Right. 14, verse 14. It says, Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and these names are hard, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he, what? Wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, that shows me he had devoted character. He wasn't just outrageously wild. This wasn't something he was just doing off the top of his head. He had devoted character. He had devoted everything about himself to following God, and God rewarded him. He was a man that was different, because he is willing to go against the flow.
Yes.
Now, traditionally, Baptists, we like to go against the flow. We don't like the government telling us everything to do, you know. And we don't like people telling us everything to do. And sometimes that gets us in trouble. But in the area of faith, that's rewarded whenever you don't go with the flow. Now, most Christians, they don't have enough faith to get past Kadesh Barnea. They get saved. God saves them. But when God says, all right, I want you to go farther now. I got some better things for you up the road. I want you to believe more. I want you to go farther. Go farther. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. And see, that's what God wants us to do. But most Christians, especially we Baptists, don't do that like we ought to. But he had devoted character. And look, he was dedicated. This man was dedicated. I think verse 8, he says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. When those other people made the children of Israel scared so they wouldn't go, he said, I was ready to go. I was ready to go. Look at verse 9. And Moses swore on that day saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. He said, all those places you walked out there, Caleb, that's going to be yours. And thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. Look at verse 14 again. Verse 14, the last of that verse says, well, it says, Hebron became therefore the inheritance of Caleb. But the last part says, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You can't be half in, half out, half right, half wrong. Either go all the way or just don't go at all. Amen. So many people settle for so much less. They do. So we see that. And not only that, according to verse 11, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day Moses sent me 40 years before. He was a dynamo, man. This old guy was a dynamo. Brother Allen told me the other day we were talking, and I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 88. I said, what? 88, glory to God. I hope I'm in that good shape when I'm 88 years old. But Caleb was 88 years old, 80-something years old, before he ever went into the promised land. And he said, I'm just as strong at 80-something as I was at 40-something.
Yeah.
Why is it we see Christians get saved and they're dynamos? Glory to God. Preacher, let me do something. Let me sing something. Preacher, let me build something. Let me work on... Preacher, let me visit somebody. And 40 years later, they're just dragging around. You might as well go ahead and bury them. They done quit everything. Boy, look at these two's claim. Verse 12. Joshua and Caleb. Look at verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, 40 years ago. For thou heardest in that day how those giants were there at Anakim's, and that the cities were great and fenced like the city of Jericho, you know. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. These guys, hey, look, these guys were they were dynamos, and not only that, they were just crazy enough to believe the claim that God gave them.
Amen.
See what we do? We're the other 10.
That's right.
We go, Amos. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah. If I can get a ride over there,
Yeah,
it looks real good. Yeah. If somebody go over there and clean out those rough people, that looks real good. Yeah, I like that city. I'll take that one. Would you go over there and clear it out for me? That's the way those 10 were. They didn't believe God could do it. But Joshua and Caleb did, and they never gave up for 40 years. They kept on believing it while they wandered around in the wilderness with all those naysayers. Can you imagine what they heard for 40 years wandering around out there? They knew they could go in. They believed God would do what he said. And here's the rest of them out there. And for 40 years they grumbled and griped and complained and never fully believed what God said. And can you imagine how these two guys felt for 40 years? It's kind of like getting up and going to a Baptist church on Sunday morning. Boy, you're feeling real good about going to church. Man, it's going to be a good day at church. We're going to have a good day today. Boy, the singing's good. The old preacher ain't much, but he can preach a message every once in a while. Man, I get to see my friends and fellowship and feel the presence of God and feel the power of God on me while I'm there. And then you get to church, and the first thing somebody says when you walk in the door is, who won the race? I don't know. I don't even know who was running. Did you see that football game? I didn't even know who was playing. Did you see that baseball game? I don't even know where they played. I I don't know the name. But yet the average Baptist man can tell you 10 NASCAR drivers, 25 NFL players, and whatever they call baseball and basketball now, and they name all those people. Some woman comes up to you and says, did you see my favorite TV show this week? As the World Turns. Look here. Look. And then the preacher gets up and he preaches and the choir sing a great song and you just want to raise your hand and shout a little bit, but you're scared to death that that one that talked about baseball or television or sports or fashion would embarrass you. And they would. Can you imagine living 40 years like that with people like that? And you got the faith. You can conquer it. You can go over that mountain. You can do what God told you to do. But if you even try, you're going to get criticized or put down. You know what I'm talking about. You come out of the Presbyterian church. Some of y'all came out of the Methodist church. You try. It's pretty easy here, but it ain't always like that. A lot of Baptist churches ain't like that. They had devoted character and they looked at what God said and they were bold about it. He remembered what God said in Deuteronomy 9:36 and he waited 45 years for what God said in Deuteronomy 9:36. And we don't have our way from one Sunday to the next, we get mad and pout and lay out 3 weeks.
Come on now.
You think I don't know what I'm talking about? Wait till we build a sanctuary. You ain't never been through it. Don't do it, son. Don't do it. Amen. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, he says this. Don't pay any attention to the one behind the screen. She's the techno genius. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. You know, there's an old story, and I've told it here before, but it's been so long, if Jeffrey hadn't wrote it down, you probably won't remember it. There was a shoe company that kept sending salesmen to American Samoa, in case you don't know where that is. That's an island off the east in Atlantic, okay? American, I think it is. Is it Atlantic or the Pacific? Pacific, I said it backwards. I knew it was there because they want to be a state, and they're not. They're a territory. But anyway, listen. They kept sending shoe salesmen over there and they kept coming back saying, we can't sell no shoes. We just can't sell no shoes. Nobody wants our shoes. And they did it over and over. And finally about the fourth shoe salesman, he sent them, this was back when they didn't have phones. He sent them a telegram said, send all the shoes you can get. And they telegraphed him back and said, why? We've had 3 failures. What are you doing? He said, everybody's barefooted. They all need shoes. See, it all depends on how you look at it. Some people look at it, well, they won't wear shoes. I can't sell them no shoes. Another man looks at it and says, they ain't got no shoes. I need to sell some shoes.
Amen.
I lost you on that one. See, what a lot of people look at as difficult, some believers look at as easy and an opportunity. One preacher used to have a church down in Red River, and I was talking to him one day, and he said, that's back when a lot of people lived in Red River. Y'all call it Sail River, I think, now, down in there. Used to have big trailer parks and everything down in there. And this preacher was telling me, he said, I told the associational director, we can't build a church down here. That's what he said. He said, it won't come. I said, if you ask them. He said, no, it ain't no use. They won't come. I said, how do you know? Unless you ask them. And by the way, the church never flourished. And I don't know if it ever did. Because, see, He didn't have the faith to say, God put me in this church in this place to do a work here, and if I die, I'm going to die trying. And it's the same way in our Christian life. A lot of people say, well, I can't do it. I can't live it. I can't do that kind of serving the Lord. I can't do that kind of stuff that other people do. Well, it all comes to how you look at it. If God gave that other believer the faith to live that life they're living, you think he can't give that to you too?
Amen. Yeah.
Kind of like that old Chinaman. He got saved. The old Chinaman got saved and he started going to a little old church. And every week he was bringing people with him. Pretty soon they had to build a new church. And he just kept bringing more people and more people come with him, you know. And finally the pastor, the deacons went to him and said, Chinaman, how are you doing this? How are you getting all these people in church? He said, I walkie, walkie, walkie. And I talkie, talkie, talkie. And they come. Amen. Now, listen to this. Higher ground is the Christian life. It is. We're not made for low living. That's that country music you listen to. By the way, if you listen to that, you need to get something fixed. Caleb was a believer who was not looking for anything easy. Now, if you get saved, you want to live a good Christian life, bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think it's going to be easy, just stop right now. It's not going to be easy, but by the grace of God and faith in Him, you can do all things through Christ who will strengthen you. Before I got saved, I knew the Christian life was not going to be easy. And somebody's lied to a lot of people nowadays and told them a Christian life's a piece of cake. No, it's a lot of climbing mountains and getting over to the other side and fighting your way through by faith. Those preachers, several of them would come to my house and say, Ron, you need to get saved. I said, I can't live it. It'd be too hard. I can't do that. I can't give up what I am and what I do and who I know. I can't do that. That's too hard. And they say, well, if you do it, it is hard, but if you'll ask the Lord to save you, He'll do it for you.
Yes, sir.
And did you know after I got saved, I didn't have to leave not one friend? Not one. They left me.
Amen.
And I had to decide, who do I love the most? Jesus is going to keep me out of eternal hell and make me a place in heaven? Or that crowd over there that's rushing to hell as fast as they can go? And then as I tried to live the Christian life, I found out every day I was on my knees and saying, Lord, this is hard. And He said, yeah, but my grace is sufficient. I'll take you through it. I'll help you. Every time you fall, just confess it. Get up. I'll carry you on some more. And that's going to happen over and over. And you'll get stronger and stronger until finally you're living by faith, not by sight. He wasn't looking for an easy. Look. Caleb crossed deserts, climbed mountains, endured suffering, fought giants, and never settled for the less than the best that God had promised him. You know, a lot of people's in a dead church today. I mean, I'm talking about dead. If you nod your head, you disturb the whole service. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kind of like that old woman kept shouting. The preacher told the ushers, to get that old woman out of here. She's disturbing the service. They was carrying him down to, carrying two ushers, picked her up and carried her down. And she was shouting all the way out. He said, wait a minute, fellas. Lady, why are you shouting out? They're carrying you out of here. Why are you shouting? He said, Jesus. She said, Jesus only had one donkey to ride on. I got two carrying me out. Amen. Most of them's dead. Amen. But people are afraid to move because, see, it takes great faith to move from something you were raised in. It takes great faith to leave family and friends. It takes greater faith to leave religion and follow the Bible. They never settle. I'm not settling. I'm not settling for, hey, I want the best that God has to give me. I'm not settling for less. Now, I may end up meeting in a store building again one day to get it, but I've done that before. I can do it again. And by the grace of God, I'm not settling for the less than He has to give me.
Amen.
He promised me an abundant life. I want it.
Amen. Yeah.
He promised never to leave me nor forsake me. He'd go with me to the end of the age. I want to see that.
Praise the Lord.
He promised to fill me with His Spirit, His person, and His power, and I want to experience that. And I'm not taking a second hand or junk from this world. They wouldn't. Joshua and Caleb wouldn't. While all those others, millions of people of Israel, wandered complaining and griping, they kept thinking, yeah, but one day we're going to go around. And by the way, just kept going in a big old circle. And they thought one day we're going to be on our last circle. Because those old, all that crowd that refused to believe God's going to be died off, and He's going to let us go in. Numbers 15, verse 13-14. And under Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of the Anak, which city is Hebron. Do you know who that man was? He was the head of the Anakims, the giants that those people was afraid of. And look who got the city that he owned. The one that believed God. All of them said, there's giants over there, we can't do that. He said, we can whoop them.
That's right.
And God gave him that city for that.
That's right.
Ain't that something? Let me tell you something. If you live long enough and believe long enough, you'll see your enemies defeated.
Amen.
If you'll live long enough and believe long enough and follow God long enough, you'll see those people who want to destroy you be destroyed. Come on, don't. Hey, that ain't wrong to say. I know this touchy-feely time we're in, it sounds bad, but it's not. God revenges His children. He said, revenge is His mind, said, Lord, you leave them alone, I'll take care of them.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Amen. Then verse 14, and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. He drove them out. Now, look. Caleb was not just talk. You ever meet anybody just talk? I've met a lot of pastors and preachers. They're just talk. They use all these fancy little sayings and stuff, you know, and it makes me sick. Platitudes. That's what they call them, platitudes. I don't know how to spell it. I'm from Lancaster. We never got that far. But it's little sweet, sickening sayings that's supposed to make you feel better, and it don't make you feel better.
Amen.
I looked at one day, I said, you know a lot of platitudes. Do you know any scripture?
Amen.
It's the scripture that'll comfort us.
Amen.
He wasn't just tall. He was a man of action. He didn't give up, and he didn't back up. And he did not stop. Where's the Christians like that today? We used to sing Onward Christian Soldiers. Marching as unto war. They called us militant fundamentalists. That's what they used to call us. Militant fundamentalists. Because we could storm hell's gates.
Amen.
And he told us to. Caleb was like that. Caleb waited half a lifetime to get what God had promised, and most people pray a week and give up. You got anything you've been praying for a long time? That's why he says pray without ceasing. Never stop. Pray until he answers. Amen. And that's the, hey, he prayed and looked for God to honor his word for over 40 years, and finally, because he didn't apologize and he didn't back up and he didn't shut up, God gave him that promised land. I just want what God's promised. That's what I want. I'm not asking to be the richest man in town. I'm just asking God to take care of me. I'm not asking to be the most muscular, though I am muscular. You can see that. I'm just asking God to keep me healthy so I can serve Him. Amen? I might end up round as a tomato before this thing's over with. I don't know. But I want Him to keep me healthy so I can serve Him. Amen? I'm not asking to make me the most popular man in town. But the Bible says if a man is to have friends, he must show himself friendly. I just want to make some friends for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And look, I don't want to take second class. I want exactly what he's got for me. He wasn't just talk. He waited half a lifetime. And as a Christian, listen, if you will do what he says, you will be filled with another spirit like Caleb. You won't have the spirit of the world. You'll have the spirit of Christ in you.
Amen.
Did you know he never went with the flow? Now, I've always been sort of a loner type person. I've never really went with the flow. Of course, when I was young, you know, we all said we looked different, but we all looked alike. We all said we wanted to dress different. We all dressed alike. But I've never failed for a lot of these things and just went with the crowd. A lot of times crowd go that way, I'd go another way, and because I knew they were going that way, and it always ended up in jail or hell. And even though I was lost, I knew better than that. But I don't want to go with the flow. Yeah. Even in Christianity. Well, and by the way, I'm 66 years old. I've been with it since 1981. I've been preaching. 83, I was ordained. And I've had many come to me and say, preacher, you need to get up to date. You need to come up to speed. You need to try this new stuff. I said, well, I tried Coca-Cola, but after you drink Pepsi, it just don't work. And I said, I've tried your stuff. It don't work. If you give them a hot dog to come today, tomorrow you're going to give them a hamburger and they won't come back. It's going to get bigger every Sunday. I'm just trying to encourage somebody today to be the Christian that has another spirit like Caleb, not be like everybody else. I'm just trying to encourage somebody today not to go with the flow. Just because your family's headed the wrong direction don't mean you have to.
That's right. That's right.
Just because your husband or wife's headed the wrong direction doesn't mean you have to.
Come on, bro.
Just because your children, grandchildren's headed the wrong direction don't mean you have to. And just because your denomination or your church is headed the wrong direction doesn't mean you have to. And just because your government heads the wrong direction doesn't mean you have to. I ain't drinking the Kool-Aid.
Amen.
Amen. Ever since Jonestown, when all those 900 people drank that Kool-Aid and died in that cult. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
Some of y'all don't even know about that. A cult, 900 of them something, of drank the Kool-Aid poison on purpose and died. I ain't drank Kool-Aid since then.
Yeah.
We've all got mountains. Every one of us has mountains. Every one of us has jobs and mountains that test our faith.
Yes, sir.
Every one of us have high and low points that test our faith. Jobs, school, family, friends, health. Are either wealth problems. You know what we have to do? We have to learn how to press on. We have to be, in the end, be able to say like Paul, I fought a good fight. Christian life's a fight.
Amen.
If you don't think, it's not, you ain't living in Portland, Maine, wherever that place was, there's burning down buildings and tearing down churches. About six of them all together, places like that. And, they're Antichrist. Antifa's Antichrist. BLM's Antichrist. LGBTQ and whatever letter they want is Antichrist. The Pope is the Antichrist. I wouldn't say that, preacher. Well, that's why you're out there. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to do that. I want the best. I want everything God's got for me.
Amen.
But I've got giants. You've got giants. You got surgery coming up. Probably that's a giant. Chad back there, he's going through a thing. Got giants. Some of you's having family problems. That's giants.
Yeah.
That's mountains. You got to get over that.
Amen.
This fellow told me one day, he said, preacher, I've come to and they used a fancy word like chasm. I've come to a chasm in my Christian life. What he meant was a big ditch.
Yeah.
And he said, I just can't get over this, preacher. I can't get over it. What's going on in my life right now. What I do, I said, build a bridge. I said, just build a bridge and get over it. You can't stay there. He said, how do I do that? I said, throw the cross over it. Put the cross over it. You walk over on that cross. Amen. And we all have that, every one of us. But I want to be a Caleb, don't you? I want to wait on God's will, pressing on while I wait, never giving up, having the faith till I receive the reward that He's already promised me.
Yes.
If you don't get it, it'll be your own fault. You know whose fault it was children of Israel wandered around out there in the wilderness those 40 years? It was theirs. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read this. You don't have to turn there and I'll be through. Here's a Caleb. Here's a Joshua. Here's some Christians we've known in our life. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn there. Verse 33. He says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised again to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Do you see what he's saying? Caleb was one of those people. Joshua was one of those people. And by faith they kept going. And for 45 years, they never saw the promise. They never saw it. But then one day, thank God, they arrived back at that same place, Kadesh Barnea, and God said, now you can do it. Now you can go over. I know you're 80-something years old, but you can take it now because I'm with you. That other crowd's died off, and you got a new crowd following you now. Lead them over there and take that land. It's yours.
Amen.
I hope in America we don't have to have the old crowd to die off before the young crowd can rise up and do something.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about giving away bottles of water at a track meet. And I'm not talking about holding up a sign on a corner somewhere, screaming and hollering at cars. I'm talking about face-to-face, old-fashioned witnessing, living for God, winning the victories and enduring the losses and be people of the cross again. We may, hey, you may end up dying for what you believe if you live it. You wouldn't be the first. You may end up starving for what you believe if you live it. You wouldn't be the first. You may end up losing your whole family over what you believe. You wouldn't be the first. But thank God, the end will pay it all.
Amen.
I've read through this book, folks. In the end, I win.
That's right.
1 John 5:4b says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I don't have to be smart. I don't have to be good looking. I don't have to be educated. I don't have to be cultured. All I got to do is trust God.
Amen.
Amen. Is anybody here today would like to trust God?
Yes, sir.
Something's happened in the history of the church never happened before. A virus that you could put 100 on the head of that pen right there has stopped the people of God. Now, I'm not saying live recklessly and go lick a telephone pole or something. But I'm saying by the grace of God, say, look, I've lived through worse than this. I can live through this too.
Right.
By the grace of God, I've been sick before and got over it. If I get this, He'll let me get over it. And if He doesn't let me get over it, I'm going to have a testimony while I die.
Amen.
Go to church.
Amen.
Hand out some gospel tract. You'll see a little girl, I handed her a gospel tract in the store yesterday. I handed her a little gospel. She went. She had a mask on. Probably every bit of 16 years old. I thought, there ain't five people under, teenagers or children. There ain't five of them died in the whole country with this stuff. And you're scared to death of this. I used to jump off the rock behind the dam in Lancaster. I dove off the dam railing, and I wasn't cussing when I said that. I drove off the railing over the dam. 16, scared of a germ. Y'all thought I cussed, didn't you? I remember one night Preacher Coley got so mad. You remember that? He said, SOB. I told my wife that morning, I said, they're voting him out tonight. He come in and apologized for it, and they said, amen, preacher! You knew what I was saying. Those rails that go over that dam, I've climbed up them and dove off as a 16-year-old boy. Now, you think I was scared of a germ? We didn't wash that. We didn't even wash our hands. Amen! And we were ignorant, and God had mercy on us in our ignorance. So what do you think He's going to do in your faith? In your faith, He'll surely take care of you if He took care of you in your ignorance.
Amen.
Yeah. It's just by the grace of God, you ain't dead already.
That's right.
I'm starting to get like a preacher up here. I can go on for 30 more minutes, but I know y'all thinking about chicken. And the big hit today will be preacher cussed. It's D-A-M, okay. Don't you want to live for God? Don't you want to be successful in the Christian life? Don't you want to stare the old world, the flesh and devil in the eye and say, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Don't be like Caleb. Don't back up, don't shut up, and don't apologize for believing God. And people ain't gonna like it. But that's all right. Jesus said they hated me, they'll hate you.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you.